This article appeared in the fall 2016 issue of UU World magazine, in Francois Clemens' Unlikely Neighborhood, by Heather Beasley Doyle. Thousands of singing Amazonian women flew through the air, fighting a giant dragon. Francois Scarborough Clemens battled alongside them. "I was the queen goddess leading the charge," he says. The scene evoked opera, Wagner's Das Rheingold, according to Clemens. He would know, though best remembered for his role as Officer Clemens on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, the classically trained tenor sang with the Metropolitan Opera Studio for 7 seasons, performed in Porgy and Bess some 300 times, and worked at Middlebury College, first as assistant choral director, then as artist in residence for 13 years. But the Amazonian scene was no performance. It was the dream that delivered Clemens from the fight of his life. The day after his Middlebury retirement concert in 2013, he collapsed, sicker than he knew, with pleurisy, pneumonia, and failing kidneys. While warriors accompanied Clemens from within, a steady stream of friends stopped by the hospital. "They kept vigil," Clemens said. "I was never alone." At 71, Clemens exudes self-confidence. Sporting a deep pink shirt, khakis, and red suspenders, he retains his trademark flair with a collection of silver and turquoise rings, a single round turquoise earring, and 6 necklaces, half of them turquoise also. "Francois is himself," says the Reverend Johanna Nichols, Minister Emerita of Champlain Valley UU Society, CVUUS, where Clemens is a member, "and himself is a diva, and very loving, accepting, commanding presence." Clemens accompanist and fellow CVUUS member Kate Gridley agrees. "Francois is not hiding who he is. He's gay, and he's black. Those facts matter for a man born into a Southern Baptist family in the segregated South who came of age during the Civil Rights Movement. Reading the Bible at church, encountering homophobia there, I would ask questions, and people didn't like it," Clemens said. "Family offered little comfort. Physically brutal," describes his father and stepfather alike. "I understand that blood is not what makes someone love you," Clemens says. Throughout childhood, Clemens counted on one thing. "I kept singing because it filled me with such joy," he says. With his musical dexterity, Clemens became his church's choir director when he was about 10 years old, a challenge he relished. "I was a serious boy," he recalls laughing. The choir of adults responded to him. "That authority has carried over for the rest of my life," Clemens says. Clemens' singing reaches utmost poignancy through spirituals. "When I sang a spiritual, my soul was transported," he said. "I went very deep, and I knew God." As founder and director of the Harlem Spiritual Ensemble for about a decade, starting around 1980, he urged ensemble members to do the same. "Don't be afraid," Clemens encouraged. "Take this journey with me." There's a kind of uniqueness to his talent that's just magical, says Middlebury College music professor Peter Hamlin, using a word that Clemens also employs. "More than I care to let on, I have lived a magical life," Clemens says. "Obedience, observing what the universe, God, Spirit, or Lord, interchangeable terms for Clemens, has in store, and yielding to that underpins his faith. I feel I am being taught by Spirit," he said. Looming large in this cosmology is Fred Rogers, the Presbyterian minister who hosted Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood from 1968 to 2001. In 1968, Rogers asked Clemens to join the cast as Officer Clemens, a singing police officer. Clemens agreed and played the role for 25 years. Rogers quickly became Clemens' mentor, surrogate father, and lifelong friend. "I can't even explain the depth of his embrace. It was so unlimited," Clemens explains, "and I always kept it in my heart. This certainty grew in part from an episode in 1969. Rogers, soaking his feet in a water-filled baby pool, invited Officer Clemens to dip his feet into the water. As Clemens did so, the camera panned in on the side-by-side contrasting feet. Rogers then offered to dry Clemens' feet with a towel. The statement reverberated as a civil rights movement roiled around desegregating public swimming pools. A very deliberate man, Rogers clearly understood not only the scene's social statement, Clemens said, but also its theological implications. The two discussed how it recalled a Bible passage describing Jesus washing his disciple Peter's feet. The significance of Fred doing that for a black gay man is not lost, Clemens said. I felt unworthy like Peter in the Bible. Why did he choose me? Years later, the impact deepened when he and Rogers recreated the scene. He chose me, and he chose me twice. Clemens felt and still feels anointed. For years, Clemens felt most at home, safe, and accepted in Rogers' friendship. But the relationship had one key complication. Clemens wanted to come out publicly, but Rogers said no. It was not a personal statement of how he felt about me, Clemens said. It had to do with the economics of the show. The mixed message prompted Clemens to marry a woman in 1968. A necessary sacrifice, he says. He divorced in 1974. Living in New York, building his singing career, Clemens encountered racism in the music world. He networked, auditioned, and worked, enjoying success as an opera singer. He toured at the helm of the Harlem Spiritual Ensemble, whose music transported him. Nevertheless, I was so lonely, I can't even describe how lonely I was, Clemens said. I was so tired. The ensemble's performance at Middlebury College clinched him an offer to be the school's artist-in-residence in 1997. When Clemens moved to Vermont, I think there were a lot of people who wanted him to tone down, said Nichols, and he did not. Working with students, the most fulfilling thing that happened was understanding how needy they were for me and how much I could give. I'm not lonely anymore, he explains. At Champlain Valley UU Society, Clemens is really part of the fabric of that congregation, Nichols says. Clemens has attended since his early Middlebury years. Today, he wishes his congregation would display a Black Lives Matter banner. He thinks the banner could draw attention to the region's subtler race biases. He appreciates the UU passion for racial justice, but says UU almost want to take over. This is an area where they don't need to lead. They need to listen and follow well. Clemens feels love for who he is in Middlebury. I love them to death, Clemens says of his fellow UUs. They may not believe what I believe, but I certainly feel deeply accepted. Gridley says the first principle, the inherent worth and dignity of every person, is the entire trajectory of Clemens' own story. Recently, he's been exploring that story as he writes his memoirs. Gridley tags along when Clemens reads passages from the manuscript to audiences, accompanying him on the piano as he peppers readings with song. The story of his 2013 collapse will surely feature in Clemens' memoir. The tale ends something like this. Lying in the hospital, Clemens awoke with a start. He had slain the dragon. His voice filled the room for the first time in days. I'm going to win. I'm going to win, Clemens shouted. He had almost died, but he hadn't. He was filled with joy, ready to see his friends and heed his next calling. This article was written by Heather Beasley Doyle. She's a freelance journalist who attends First Parish UU in Arlington, Massachusetts. And this is a service provided by the Unitarian Universalist Association, UU World, and Equal Access. This article was read by Don Heimel of DPH Vocalese, a member of First UU Church of San Antonio, Texas.